Epilogue. 2 weeks later, a solitary figure arrived at the conventicle of Saren. Sazed had left Luthadel quietly, troubled by his thoughts and by the loss of Tyndall. He'd left a note. He couldn't stay in Luthadel, not at the moment. The mists still killed. They struck random people who went out at night with no discernible pattern. Many of the people did not die, but only became sick. Others, the mists murdered. Sazed didn't know what to make of the deaths. He wasn't even certain if he cared. Vin spoke of something terrible she had released at the Well of Ascension. She had expected Sazed to want to study and record her experience. Instead, he had left. He made his way through the solemn steel-plated rooms. He half expected to be confronted by one Inquisitor or another. Perhaps Marsh would try to kill him again. By the time he and Ham had returned from the storage cavern beneath Luthadel, Marsh had vanished again. His work had apparently been done. He'd stalled Sazed long enough to keep him from stopping Vin. Sazed made his way down the steps, through the torture chamber, and finally into the small rock room he'd visited on his first trip to the conventicle, so many weeks before. He dropped his pack to the ground, working it open with tired fingers, then looked up at the large steel plate. Quan's final words stared back at him. Sazed knelt, pulling a carefully tied portfolio from his back. He undid the string, and then removed his original rubbing, made in this very room months before. He recognized his fingerprints on the thin paper, knew the strokes of the charcoal to be his own. He recognized the smudges he had made. With growing nervousness, he held the rubbing up and slapped it against the steel plate on the wall. And the two did not match. Sazed stepped back, uncertain what to think now that his suspicions had been confirmed. The rubbing slipped limply from his fingers, and his eyes found the sentence at the end of the plate. The last sentence. The one that the mist spirit had ripped free time and time again. The original one on the steel plate was different from the one Sazed had written and studied. "Alende must not reach the Well of Ascension," Quan's ancient words read, "for he must not be allowed to release the thing that is imprisoned there." Sazed sat down quietly. It was all a lie, he thought numbly. The religion of the Terrace people. The thing the Keepers spent millennia searching for, trying to understand, was a lie. The so-called prophecies, the hero of ages, a fabrication, a trick. What better way for such a creature to gain freedom? Men would die in the name of prophecies. They wanted to believe, to hope. If someone, something could harness that energy, twist it. What amazing things could be accomplished? Sazed looked up, reading the words on the wall, reading the second half once again. It contained paragraphs that were different from his rubbing. Or rather, his rubbing had been changed somehow. Changed to reflect what the thing had wished Sazed to read. "I write these words in steel," Quan's first words said, "for anything not set in metal cannot be trusted." Sazed shook his head. They should have paid attention to that sentence. Everything he had studied after that had apparently been a lie. He looked up at the plate, scanning its contents, coming to the final section. "And so," they read, "I come to the focus of my argument. I apologize. Even forcing my words into steel, sitting and scratching in this frozen cave, I am prone to ramble. This is the problem. Though I believed in Alendi at first, I later became suspicious. It seemed that he fit the signs, true. But, well, how can I explain this? Could it be that he fit them too well? I know your argument. We speak of the anticipation, of things foretold, of promises made by our greatest prophets of old. Of course the hero of ages will fit the prophecies. He will fit them perfectly. That's the idea. And yet, something about all this seems so convenient. It feels almost as if we constructed a hero to fit our prophecies, rather than allowing one to arise naturally. This was the worry I had, the thing that should have given me pause when my brethren came to me, finally willing to believe. After that, I began to see other problems. Some of you may know of my fabled memory. It is true. I need not a ferrochemist's metal mind to memorize a sheet of words in an instant. And I tell you, call me daft, but the words of the prophecies are changing. The alterations are slight, clever even. A word here, a slight twist there. But the words on the pages are different from the ones in my memory. The other world bringers scoff at me, for they have their metal minds to prove to them that the books and prophecies have not changed. And so, this is the great declaration I must make. There is something, some force, that wants us to believe that the hero of ages has come, and that he must travel to the well of ascension. Something is making the prophecies change, so that they refer to Alendi more perfectly. And whatever this power is, it can change words within a ferrochemist's metal mind. The others call me mad. As I have said, that may be true. But must not even a madman rely on his own mind, his own experience, rather than that of others? I know what I have memorized. I know what is now repeated by the other world bringers. The two are not the same. I sense a craftiness behind these changes, a manipulation subtle and brilliant. I have spent the last 2 years in exile, trying to decipher what the alterations could mean. I have come to only one conclusion. Something has taken control of our religion, something nefarious, something that cannot be trusted. It misleads and it shadows. It uses Alendi to destroy, leading him along a path of death and sorrow. It is pulling him toward the well of ascension, where the millennial power has gathered. I can only guess that it sent the deepness as a method of making mankind more desperate, of pushing us to do as it wills. The prophecies have changed. They now tell Alendi that he must give up the power once he takes it. This is not what was once implied by the texts. They were more vague. And yet the new version seems to make it a moral imperative. The texts now outline a terrible consequence if the hero of ages takes the power for himself. Alendi believes as they do. He is a good man. Despite it all, he is a good man. A sacrificing man. In truth, all of his actions, all of the deaths, destructions, and pains that he has caused, have hurt him deeply. All of these things were, in truth, a kind of sacrifice for him. He is accustomed to giving up his own will for the common good as he sees it. I have no doubt that if Alendi reaches the well of ascension, he will take the power and then, in the name of the presumed greater good, will give it up. Give it away to this same force that has changed the texts. Give it up to this force of destruction that has brought him to war, that has tempted him to kill, that has craftily led him to the north. This thing wants the power held in the well, and it has raped our religion's holiest tenets in order to get it. And so, I have made one final gamble. My pleas, my teachings, my objections, and even my treasons were all ineffectual. Allende has other counselors now, ones who tell him what he wants to hear. I have a young nephew, one Rashik. He hates all of Hlenium with the passion of envious youth. He hates Allende even more acutely, though the two have never met. For Rashik feels betrayed that one of our oppressors should have been chosen as the hero of ages. Allende will need guides through the Terrace Mountains. I have charged Rashik with making certain that he and his trusted friends are chosen as those guides. Rashik is to try and lead Allende in the wrong direction, to dissuade him, discourage him, or otherwise foil his quest. Allende doesn't know that he has been deceived, that we've all been deceived, and he will not listen to me now. If Rashik fails to lead the trek astray, then I have instructed the lad to kill Allende. It is a distant hope. Allende has survived assassins, wars, and catastrophes. And yet I hope that in the frozen mountains of Terrace, he may finally be exposed. I hope for a miracle. Allende must not reach the Well of Ascension, for he must not be allowed to release the thing that is imprisoned there. Sazed sat back. It was the final blow, the last strike that killed whatever was left of his faith. He knew at that moment that he would never believe again. Vin found Elend standing on the city wall, looking over the city of Luthadel. He wore a white uniform, one of the ones that Tyndall had made for him. He looked harder than he had just a few weeks before. "You're awake," she said, moving up beside him. He nodded. He didn't look at her, but continued to watch the city with its bustling people. He'd spent quite a bit of time delirious and in bed, despite the healing power of his newfound allomancy. Even with Pewter, the surgeons had been uncertain if he'd survive. He had. And like a true allomancer, he was up and about the first day he was lucid. "What happened?" he asked. She shook her head, leaning against the stones of the battlement. She could still hear that terrible booming voice.
"I am free."
"I'm an allomancer," Elend said. She nodded.
"Mistborn, apparently," he continued.
"I think we know where they came from now," Vin said. "The first allomancers."
"What happened to the power?" "Ham didn't have a straight answer for me, and all anyone else knows are rumors."
"I set something free," she whispered.
"Something that shouldn't have been released.
Something that led me to the well. I should never have gone looking for it, Elend."
Elend stood in silence, still regarding the city. She turned, burying her head in his chest.
"It was terrible," she said. "I could feel that. And I set it free."
Finally, Elend wrapped his arms around her.
"You did the best you could, Vin," he said. "In fact, you did the right thing. How could you have known that everything you'd been told, trained, and prepared to do was wrong?"
Vin shook her head.
"I am worse than the Lord Ruler. In the end, maybe he realized he was being tricked and knew he had to take the power rather than release it."
"If he'd been a good man, Vin," Elend said, "he wouldn't have done the things he did to this land."
"I may have done far worse," Vin said. "This thing I released, the mists killing people and coming during the day. Elend, what are we going to do?"
He looked at her for a moment, then turned back toward the city and its people.
"We are going to do what Kelsier taught us, Vin. We're going to survive.
The end of book two.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.